Proverbs 23, and I want us to look at verse 26, kind of a launching pad for today's lesson and for this series. The Bible says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." And I think one of the profound statements made by this father is the question, "Son, give me your heart," stating that he would like a deep, connected relationship with his son from a vantage point that he then could minister and train and nurture his son in the ways of the Lord. And I believe that you and I must seek that with our children as well, that as we go through this series and we're just learning practical biblical principles and tips on parenting, and we're praying one for another and we're encouraging one another in this season of life, but we have to be passionate about wanting a heartfelt connection with our children. We have to be passionate that we want more than just a tip or an idea or a practice that we can utilize. And I hope we'll get some of those during this series. But at the baseline, we've got to be passionate that there is a heartfelt and a heart level connection with our children. And I want to make sure that we establish that on the onset of this series. Now, as we talk about today, the understanding parent, and understanding what it is to be a kid, understanding what it is to go through some of these transitional years that can be a little awkward. Let me give you a few statements by way of introduction before we dive in. I think you have these in your notes. As we approach these transitional years, we first of all want to make sure we understand reality. Our kids are going through a season of change, bodily changing, mentally changing, emotionally changing. And they say the years between 12 and 20, there are so many changes happening in the life of a child. And it's good for you and I to understand that, to be aware of it, and to extend some grace. Now, listen, today we're going to talk a lot about just being an understanding parent. I'm not in any way condoning that we should just understand disobedience. What we're not saying today is, oh yeah, if your child is out of control, disobedient, disrespectful, and rebellious, chalk it up to the fact they're a child and go to bed. That's not what we're saying, all right? We're going to learn a lot about instruction and correction and so on. But what we are saying is, you know what? There are a lot of things in the lives of our children that they are just kids. And we've got to remember what it was to be a child. And we've got to understand the reality that they're going through a lot of changes as they are developing and growing. Then secondly, we should teach through these changes. So we got to understand the reality that there's changes. But then we've got to teach through these changes. Our children will never hear enough positive, affirming, comforting, and nurturing words from you and I, ever. We constantly have to teach. We constantly have to affirm. I'll ask you an honest question this morning. Do your children know you love them? Do your children know you like them? Do your children know you like to spend time with them? Do your children know they are valuable to you? Do your children know that they are special to you? Do they know this? Is it affirmed in their heart by how you act, what you say, what you do, the time you spend together, the energy you invest? Is this a known commodity in your home? And that's a lot about what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks, because we want to be passionate and being the right kind of a parent. And then thirdly, we should encourage and strengthen our children through these changes. And we definitely want to be praying for them and with them and encourage them through these types of things. I want to give you one other quick note, and then we're going to dive into this lesson. There may be some here this morning, and you feel like you are a single parent. It may be because of a previous relationship, and now you have a blended family. It might be because here you are in class and in church wanting to parent according to the Bible, and maybe the father or mother of your child does not agree with that approach. And there may be somewhat of a disadvantage that you feel like you are at as you go to implement these principles. And I just want to say to you that parenting is indeed a daunting challenge. And when you feel like God maybe is calling you to do that single-handedly, because maybe your spouse is not here or does not share the same values at this moment with you, I want to share a verse with you to encourage you. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." And I just want to encourage you this morning as a mom or dad, if you come to this classroom and you feel like you're alone, you're not. You've got the Lord. Amen. And I want to remind you of something. You plus the Lord will be all your children need. Now, it is my prayer that your spouse will come. It is my prayer that they will come to the Lord. It is my prayer that they will begin to practice these principles. But don't feel like, my goodness, we're at a disadvantage and we're defeated and it's never going to work. The Lord indeed will help you. He will enable you. He is sufficient and He will go with you each step of the way. And we all need the Lord as we strive to be the parents that we should. So, how can you and I be an understanding parent? Let's dive in to these thoughts together this morning. First of all, we must understand physical change. We need to be understanding of physical change. Our children are going to go through some physical changes as they begin to get a little older, as they begin to grow, as they begin to mature. And there's going to be some changes that we need to be aware of. First of all, letter A, they're going to be awkward in their coordination. Have you begun to notice maybe in the life of some of your children, there's just kind of an awkwardness about them, maybe in just navigating through the house, maybe just in trying to talk, maybe in just in the stuff that used to be really easy, all of a sudden seems to be a little more complicated, and there's kind of an awkwardness that comes there, and that's part of the physical change of life. Letter B, you have seasons where the clothing doesn't fit right, and sometimes we run into that season, I suppose, as well, but the clothing isn't quite fitting like it should, and there can be an awareness of that or an embarrassment about that. Letter C, the physical features that stand out. Again, remember what it was to be a child. Remember when your feet were growing or your ears were growing or something was growing and it felt like nothing else was, and you looked in the mirror and you just kind of felt disproportionated and just kind of discombobulated or whatever and just kind of awkward. And it may not be something that everybody's aware of, but I promise you they are when their physical features are standing out. Letter D, when personal hygiene becomes an issue. Now, you know when that one becomes an issue. And you're reminding them and teaching them and training them, and they're getting in the habit of needing to care for that a little more often than they did before. And they may not like it. They may not want that routine, but it's becoming an issue indeed. Their bodies are changing. Their letter E, sensitivity to their appearance. My goodness, we could go years and they wouldn't even care what they look like. I mean, if we didn't draw attention to it, they would go all kinds of places looking terrible. But now they notice. Now they care. Now they begin to ask questions and want some more time maybe in this area. Letter F, as they are getting older, and then you have adult sexual desires becoming real in their body and in their life. And this is a time where you have a human being with a childish mind but an adultish body. And there are desires and things that they have, but they don't have the wherewithal to understand the value of purity and some margin and some moderation and some boundaries in their life. By the way, that's why they need you. One of the things I've been convicted about in studying for this series is the human nature of a parent. You think about a young child and somebody with a stroller is in the room, and there's just an automatic understanding of the dependency of that child. I mean, you've got to feed, you've got to clothe, you've got to regulate, you've got to clean, you've got to do everything. And as a child begins to get older and can begin doing some things on their own, or even begin to help out in the family life of the home, there's a natural tendency in the heart of a father and mother to pull back. Because now the child can do some things on their own, and you're still the parent, and you're still guiding, and you're still providing some things, but many things you're kind of letting them do. And I'm certainly not saying that they need to develop some independency along the way. We're going to talk about that. But they still are in need of a father and a mother. That's why God gave them us as their parents, and there is a specific job that we are to fulfill that we really don't finish until we meet the Lord in heaven someday. And so we want to make sure that we're passionate about that engagement. And as we want to be an understanding parent, we want to understand these physical changes. Now, secondly, how can we rightly respond to these physical changes? What are some right responses to these physical changes happening in our children? First of all, letter A, be patient in your spirit. One of the fruit of the spirits we studied in the fall was long-suffering. And we want to make sure that we are patient in our spirit. Moms, has your patience ever been tested? Dads, has your patience ever been tested? Hey, as a passionate parent, we want to be understanding. And we want to make sure that we are patient in our spirit. We don't want to be always just so quick to respond. We don't want to always just fly off the handle. We don't want to always just kind of deal with it and take a sledgehammer to a little fly or something. We want to be patient in our spirit. Listen, if we're always on edge at home, it's like the old adage, if Bob has a problem with everybody, maybe the problem's with Bob. If I go home every day always on edge and always kind of getting after everybody and calling people down and always making a big deal out of everything, maybe I have a problem. Maybe I need to get some things in order in my life so I can go home and just be kind and be polite and be patient in my spirit. Letter B, I need to be understanding in my heart. In Thessalonians, we are to comfort the feeble-minded. We are to support the weak. We are to be patient toward all men. And I want to be understanding in my heart that our children are going through some changes, and I want to make sure that I'm sympathetic towards them. Letter C, be biblical in your training. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Be biblical in your training. Children are going through different changes. And here, speaking of the physical, we want to make sure that we're comforting them, that we're understanding, that we're being patient, and we're biblically training. You can earn a platform of influence into the heart of your child from an understanding, sympathetic, patient approach to them during some awkward years. That's going to provide you a phenomenal opportunity to teach them the Word of God. Remain biblical in your training. Don't lose that emphasis and that insight. Letter D, be balanced in your family schedule. The Bible says in Ephesians, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And you've got to be balanced in your family schedule. Listen, as your children are going through these years of development in their life, make sure they're getting enough sleep. Make sure that they're getting enough time outside. Make sure that they're getting exercise. Make sure that they're eating right. Make sure that the family schedule is balanced. And make sure they're getting enough time with you. Your children need time with you. You've got to know it. You've got to make it happen. We're going to talk about that in just a minute, so I won't steal the thunder. But you've got to make sure you're getting family time. So understanding physical changes. Thirdly, understanding neurological changes. Understanding the neurological changes. Now, what's happening mentally in their life in this season? Well, letter A, reason and judgment are suspended. Reason and judgment are suspended. Now, we've heard of the frontal lobe of our brain, and it is from this portion of our brain that gives you and I the ability to reason and to exercise judgment. But did you know that in your child, the frontal lobe is just now, around the age of 12, beginning to develop in their body, which means they are relying more on their emotions and more easily given to impulse, because their ability to reason and their ability to give judgment is just now developing. Have you ever seen a young child developing into a preteen who begins to kind of see something that they might like, and instead of just maybe getting the t-shirt or maybe instead of just getting the pair of shoes, I mean, they just adapt to the whole walk of life. I mean, they found a skateboard they like, and now they dress like the guy who rides the skateboard or whatever. Why? Because they don't have any moderation. Their ability to reason is developing. Their ability to exercise judgment is developing. And we have to understand this is happening in their mind mentally. Again, it's why God gave them you and God gave them you and I as parents. Letter B, their brain is under construction. This will bring you great hope this morning. Their brain is under construction. The Boston Globe reported that the brain cells called neurons are rearranging, making new connections and pruning unnecessary ones to speed and reroute the flow of thought. In fact, other studies have recently reported that every single brain cell is literally recreated and rewired between the ages of 12 and 20. Now think about it. What an astounding statistic. The brain is being redefined, reworked in the space of about 8 years. Now think about it. With younger kids, if they lose teeth, we make a big deal about it. We get a little thing. We tell them the tooth fairy came. They wake up and there's all this money under their pillow. Now what should we give a kid who's getting a new brain? I mean, I'm telling you, this is a big change in their life. Their brain is under construction. I mean, they're changing in all kinds of ways. Now, fourthly, how can you and I rightly respond to this neurological change that's taking place in their life? Now, I know there's a lot of things out there. We just read about a couple of studies. And there's other things that would medicinally be there, but God's Word commanded us long before these studies to engage in spiritual training during these years. Why? Because there is a biblical connection that medicine cannot make. I don't have time to develop this part of the thought this morning, the lesson. I may touch on it a little bit later in this series, and it's a sensitive subject. But we live in a culture and a society in 2016 that when we take one of our children to a medical professional, more often than not, it's they need something. They need a prescription. They need a this. They need a that. What 50 years ago we called just normal kids, today is now AAD, ADHD, HD, whatever. I mean, we've got all these labels for 50 years ago what was normal. And the problem is, it's not that we have kids who are out of control. We have kids who don't have parents who train. The Bible says a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. If you take the four children that God has blessed my wife and I with and you let them do whatever they want, they eventually will be labeled insane. And yes, it's because of me and not because of their mom, okay? But that's exactly what's going to happen. Why? Because there's no training, there's no boundaries, there's no correction, there's no guidance provided in their life. And so if these neurological changes are happening in the hearts of our children, this is prime time to make a biblical connection that will help them. Now notice this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. The Bible says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." God is commanding the fathers here in Deuteronomy, in every aspect possible, make sure you're training your children from the Bible. In Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. There is a level where medical research falls short. There is a need in the heart of your child to have biblical truth. And here it is. What better time than when the brain is being reformatted, if you will, to instill biblical instruction? What better time to paint than on a blank canvas? What better time to install software than on a fresh hard drive? What better time to instill biblical principles than on a brain, than on a mind that is reformatting for life? We want to take advantage of these transformational years in the lives of our children to teach them the Word of God. And by the way, may I say this? If you have younger children in your home, what better time to have time in God's Word? Sometimes we'll wait and think, well, I'll address this later, or we'll teach this later. And certainly there are certain subjects that they should have a level of discernment and maturity before we begin to discuss with them. And sometimes we probably should get to them sooner than we should. But there is never a time where we should not be teaching the Word of God. Every parent in this room should be instilling the Word of God in the hearts and minds of their children. And when children are going through these kinds of changes and they're being tempted on every side and parents are being tempted to disengage, I want to encourage you, your parental work is not coming to an end. When your children are going through these transformational years, it's just beginning. And I want to encourage you to resist the temptation to disengage and resist the temptation to just give more freedom and liberty in the way that I'm speaking of here, but rather commit to fully re-engage and teach them the Word of God, because they are at this season receptive and impressionable. While the cement is wet, make sure you get your impression there. Make sure you're taking time to teach the Word of God. So physically they're changing, mentally they're changing. Fifthly, understand emotional change. Now consider the fact that our children in these transformational years are changing emotionally. The pressures in their life are changing. The responsibilities in their life are changing. Hey, you're old enough, you can help out around here. And now, I mean, instead of us feeding them and doing it, now we want them to help, right? Do dishes and whatever. Wash the car, mow the lawn, whatever. Joseph's about doing that. So the responsibilities change. Their schedules change. Sports, music lessons, this event, that event. Life is totally changing. And emotionally, it is changing your child. Now consider these factors. Letter A, they have changing relationships. Changing relationships. Their relationship with you is changing. Their relationship with their sibling is changing. Their relationship with their friends is changing. And they feel like they're in a world that just won't stop spinning because there's so much change. Letter B, there's a desperation for acceptance and identity. Every dad, will you give me 30 seconds if you've got a daughter in your home? If she's not already, she will come to a season where she is desperate for acceptance and identity. And that needs to first come from the Lord Jesus Christ, but it must come from her relationship with you. She's got to know there's a daddy that loves her. She's got to know there's a daddy that is crazy about her. She's got to know there's a daddy that can't wait to spend time with her, that thinks she's the most special thing that God created, that is absolutely unbelievably blessed by her presence. She's got to know that. Our children, our daughters, and our sons must know that they're accepted in our home. Let her see. There's an increased romantic attraction. Are your children starting to get weird about being around members of the opposite sex? Do you see your child in a certain setting and there's just kind of this awkward weirdness that you're like, where did that come from, you know? Letter D, there's fears of the future. What's going to happen? Where are these relationships going to go? What's wrong with me? We're going to get into this later in this series, but can I say something? When our children are going through these transformational years and changes are happening, you know what they need? They need a stable home. They need a stable home. They need to know that mom and dad are rock solid. That when they come home, mom and dad are going to be there. Everything's going to be fine. Home is a safe haven. It is stable. It is secure. It is not, what's today going to hold? What's going to happen next week? Is mom going to be here? Is dad going to be here? Is it going to be happy and dinner? Or is it going to be shouting and throwing? What's going to happen? It can't be that way. When there's all these changing happening in them, there's got to be a bedrock of stability. When we come home, this is what's there. That's got to be that way. And that's going to be something you and I are passionate about. So then lastly, number six, how do we rightly respond to these emotional changes? What's the right response? Letter A, it's time with God and His Word. You and I have to be in God's Word because we need His wisdom. And we've got to guide our children there, encouraging them to cast all their care upon Him and to know that it's a good thing that the heart would be established with grace. And our children need to be in the Word of God. Help your children develop a desire for God's Word and a pattern for being in God's Word. Help them find a Bible reading plan. Keep them accountable. Make this a big thing in your home. Letter B, there's got to be time with family. How do we respond in the hearts of our children during any transformational time in their hearts? By spending time with them. Parents, can I challenge you in love this morning? Postpone your midlife crisis indefinitely. There's going to be plenty of time for new cars, for career promotions, and for personal suits after the kids are grown. Don't pursue stuff now that 10 years from now, when your kids are out of your home, you're going to regret the time you could have had right now. It can all wait. In the big picture, it's not as important. In the big picture, you've got but a few fast-moving years to be involved in the lives and hearts of your children. Don't let anything rob you from that. You'll regret it. Make sure you're getting that family time and the time that's talking together and praying together and growing together. Let her see. You know how we need to respond? With some comic relief. The Bible says in Proverbs, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And we want to make sure that home is stable and home is fun. And some of these awkward things that are happening in our children in these older elementary years and preteen years and transformational years, that we're just having a good time about it, that there's a loving acceptance alive in our home. Then letter D, they need identity, stability, and affirmation. We need to seek to help our child find their identity in God and in our family. We need to give them a stable home and a stable life. We've got to be faithful to our spouse. They've got to know that mom and dad are doing well. One of the greatest things my dad ever did for me was love my mom. And I told you before, my dad always told us kids, listen, I can only have one wife, I can have more kids. That was my dad's way of letting us know where we stood on the priority list. We were down there. She was up there. That's just the way it was going to be. But you know what? Looking back, in fact, my dad called me this morning at 8:05. Just got out of the pastor's prayer meeting. And I went in my office. My dad called me on my cell phone. He said, Gabe, I just want you to know I love you. I prayed for your class this morning. I know you guys had Easter last week, and I know you've been praying for a lot of new families to come. I just want you to know that I spent some time praying for you. I said, Dad, I sure appreciate that, and I sure love you. And I'm going to try to encourage our class today to be parents following biblical principles. And I just want to thank you for being that kind of dad for me. I hope someday my kids feel that way about me. But it won't be something by accident. It'll be something I have to learn and something I have to be passionate about. Are you and I striving to be an understanding parent this morning? Can you give me 2 minutes and just listen? I want to give you a story and we're going to go. A woman named Cynthia once told a story about a time with her father. Her dad and her were making plans to take a night out in San Francisco. She was 12 years old, and her dad had been planning this date for months, and they had a whole itinerary planned out minute by minute. They were going to go to his presentation. She was going to sit in to the last hour of it, and then they were going to meet at the back of the room at about 4:30. They were going to leave quickly before everybody tried to stop and talk with her dad. They were going to go catch a trolley car down to Chinatown. They were going to eat Chinese food. They were going to shop for souvenirs. They were going to see all of the sights. They were going to have a great time and enjoy San Francisco. Then they were going to go back to the room, take a taxi back to the room. They were going to sneak down to the pool after it had closed. And they were going to sneak in and get a swim. And then they're going to go back up to the room. They were going to order some ice cream sundaes from room service. And they were going to watch a movie together as dad and daughter. They discussed these details over and over and over. The anticipation was part of the entire experience. And it was going to be amazing. Well, everything was going according to plan. And her father was getting ready to leave the convention center. And then it happened. An old college friend and a business associate came up, and they hadn't seen each other for years, and they saw one another, and they embraced so enthusiastically. And his friend said to the father, I'm so glad that you're going to be doing work with our company, and Lois and I heard about the fact that you're going to be here, and we thought this was going to be perfect, and we want to invite you, and of course, your daughter Cynthia, to go with us to get a spectacular seafood dinner down at the wharf. Cynthia's father responded, Bob, it's so great to see you, and dinner at the wharf sounds awesome. Cynthia was heartbroken. Her daydreams of trolley rides and ice cream sundaes evaporated in an instant. Plus, she hated seafood. And she could just imagine how bored she would be sitting at the table and listening to all the adults talk all night. But then her father continued. But not tonight, Bob. Cynthia and I have a very special date planned, don't we, sweetheart? He winked at Cynthia. He grabbed her by the hand, and they ran into that convention center and continued on to be what would be an unforgettable night in her life. As it happened, Cynthia's father is Stephen Covey, the author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. This story was told at his funeral, and Cynthia said, what bonded my father to me forever was that I knew I mattered most to him than anything else. A father convinced his child, you are valuable to me. Listen, every one of us will have good opportunities. Every one of us will have a reason. Every one of us will have something competing for our time, our energy, our resources when it comes to parenting. And I just want to encourage as we kick off this series, Passionate Parenting. Be passionate about making sure your children know you love them. Be passionate about making sure your children know they are valuable to you, and prove it by what you're willing to say no to so that you can say yes to them. And when we think about some of the changes they might be going through, and as humorous as they may they know they have an understanding heart in their dad and in their mom. And I pray that we'll be back next week and in the weeks to come and learn some practical principles from the Word of God on how we can be passionate parents. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for some time in your Word today. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen all of our homes, every marriage and every family here. Lord, may we strive to obey your word, and may this be an army of parents with passion, striving to instill biblical principles in their lives, their marriages, and their homes. Lord, I pray that you bless these thoughts over the next few weeks. May they greatly strengthen the relationships that we hold dear, and we'll be sure to praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.